baseball, or, you know, there's always sports activities for the children, different activities of the world that distract you from your family time.
Okay.
It's hard to get together sometimes as a family.
Now, what are you talking family time? Are you talking family, your immediate family, or are you saying the church?
Immediate family, I'm okay. talking right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I go by a ballpark there in Johnstown when I come to church. There must be 150 cars in there. And they're plumb full. They're out playing basketball or baseball at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to church. They have no idea to go to church.
Yeah.
So even the family time for a lot of people is separated out by, you know, sports activities, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the world has gotten in the way of what's important. And not only the family, but the church family. Being together. Being in church together. We see with sports activities, baseball. Baseball's played on Sundays. Man, when I was growing up, Sundays was, that was a family time and church time. Wednesday nights was family time and church time. That's how it was. Now it's going on all the time. All the time. And we wonder why is it that kids are not staying faithful to the church? It's going out and playing baseball is a lot more fun than sitting in here. The world's telling them that. They don't understand the importance of where your soul should be. Any other comments? Somebody else, did they raise their hand over here? Okay, on to chapter 24. I'm going to zip on here. The title of the chapter was Why I Didn't Know. It's talking about the church of the Bible that we read about in the scripture. Why is it that good people who seem to fear God and believe that Jesus is the Son do not question what they have been taught? Why is it that people who fear God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they never question what they've been taught? Why is that?
Because they feel like they're questioning God.
Okay, could be questioning God. I came from a denominational background. I could give an answer to that. Because the pastor, we called him the pastor never questioned him. He knew everything. He went to school, and he must be telling us the truth. He can't be wrong. I trust him.
You know, I think, and that's what's wrong with our society, too much personal thinking. Okay. However, if you were to just pick up a Bible in a motel room and you didn't know much about it and you start reading it, you would think, wow, I'm going nowhere with this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, it's hard to understand the Bible. Now, if you grow up in a church and you've had all the classes, the number of books and how they're compiled and put together and all this, that's a lot easier. But if you don't have that, it must be a very overwhelmingly complicated book to decipher. So they turn to the leaders.
Yep. And we do that here.
Of course.
We do that here. I would come to you if I wasn't sure of something. I've done it before. I've gone to Ed. But that's why we have to go to the scripture and see what it says and not just take somebody's word for it. I appreciate a lot of times that Ed says, you know, he makes a good point when he's teaching his classes. He says, follow in scripture what I'm saying here. And if you see something biblically not right, bring it to me. But we need a biblical answer. Not an opinion, but a biblical answer. And I appreciate that. Listen to what Mike said here on page 204. Mein Kampf. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Mein Kampf is German for my struggle. It was Hitler's exposition of the grand political ideology. his 1925 masterpiece of propaganda. And Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf. Am I saying that right? Who's German in here? Does anybody know German? We don't have any Germans in here, do we? My wife came from German background, but she doesn't know any German. Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
Okay. In Mein Kampf, Hitler said that people, by means of shrewd lies unrepentantly repeated, can be made to believe that hell is heaven. People will believe that hell is heaven by hearing lies persistently repeated to them. We see that that was true. I mean, we look back in history, and history tells us what happened back in the 40s during World War II. You know, you tell somebody a lie over and over and over, and then we end up with the Nazis, and we see what happens with the concentration camps and the Jews. It was sickening because they believed a lie. Repetition is the mother of learning. Virgil, how did you learn your ABCs?
I don't know. I never learned that song, so I don't have any idea.
Ben, did you learn your ABCs? Well, we got some, I shouldn't say dumb people here. We learned our ABCs and our 1, 2, 3s because of repetition, right? We learned it through repetition. Repetition is the mother of learning, he said here. Hearing a constant message establishes the message as a fact in the human mind. You hear it over, and you hear it over, and you hear it over, and you hear it over. It goes back to what he said in his book. You can hear a lie 1,000 times and believe it, and hear a truth once and not believe it. Listen to what, I'm going to give this back to you. I might have to get it back from you in a second. Listen to what Mike says about Satan here. Satan is a highly intelligent being. He is highly probable, it is highly probable that his intelligence is far beyond any human man or woman. His intelligence is far beyond any human man or woman. Satan has 6,000 years of experience in deception. He knew that mankind would never follow him openly. Isn't that true? When we see something that's really bad, we stay away from it. Therefore, he mingles small lies with the truth. Satan intertwines some good with some twisting of truth. The core of Satan's strategy is to create confusion, which leads to division. Allow mankind to think that he has salvation unto his death. And Satan attempts to keep good people in political ignorance. And that's his trick, if he can keep us in political ignorance, we can be misled. And we see a lot of denominations that way. Take you almost to the truth and then stop you real short. I saw that in the Baptist teaching when I was there. Bring you all the way up and just stop you short.
Well, even in a lot of teachings, like back in slavery and stuff, you know, they would only read certain things to the slaves and out of the Bible, and these slaves still believed in God, and they were going off of what, you know, the landowner or whatever was saying, and he was reading it right out of the Bible, and they were right.
So he twisted things to
fit an agenda.
He read
it right there. It was right there.
Yeah.
It's just he didn't read it all.
Okay.
Only read certain scriptures, you know, which in a sense brought a lot of the slaves to believe in God, or that went with denominations from there. So that was partially good, but they used it to their advantage. So many people use it to their advantage.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments? We're moving quickly.
A lot of times you don't want to question things because it was good enough for my mom and dad. It was good enough for grandpa and grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, and goes back to a story that they mentioned way back in the beginning of the book. We kind of talked about that, and you make a good point. Mike wanted to know in this book, he saw his wife cutting the end of the ham off. Remember that?
Yeah.
Why'd you cut the ends of the ham off? Well, Mom always taught me to do that. Well, I'll ask Mom. Well, because grandma always cut the ends of the ham off. That's why I always cut the ends of the ham off. Went back generation, generation. Finally, they got to grandma and asked her, why did you cut the ends of the ham off? So it fit in the pot. And we tend to do that in life sometimes. Because everybody else did it. It was good, good for them, worked for them. It's got to be this way, and it will work for me. So. Any other comments as we move?
Challenge. What your parents or grandparents or family history or such, when you challenge that, you come to a different conclusion, you're forced to face the possibility of their faith.
Okay. I've been down that road. I've been down that road with my parents. My dad actually told me, so you're telling me that I'm going to hell. I've been told that. You told me that to my. So, Walter.
About the idea about lies. Joseph Goebbels was Hitler's Nazi propaganda minister, and I think he's the one that said if you will tell a lie, a big enough lie, boldly enough, long enough, that people will swallow it. And comes to mind to me, in our culture today, almost everybody that's anybody that's quote intellectual or educated now accepts the theory of evolution.
Yeah.
You know, college campuses and stuff like that, anybody that doesn't believe that, you know, you're primitive and all that. But when you get right down to the facts of it, it can't be proven. And the next big lie that's being sold to us is global warming. Now, as far as what I know about it, the verdict is probably still out on it. But most people, especially the elite, media and intellectuals and all that would have you know that that's a settled case. And the facts on that are still, at best, questionable on some of it. But that's what's being sold to us. And you know, it's sold to us enough through the mass media.
Start believing it.
Evolution, that it's just accepted whether it's true or not.
Yeah. 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 Global warming would be a whole different topic sometime. We could sit down and talk about that because that could get. Yeah. So I hear you. I know what you're trying to say. So. Okay. On the 25, we have about 5 or 10. Hopefully we get through this. The Church of the Bible. Now, this was when Mike sat down and started his real study with Randall. First of, what, 5 or 6 that week they were going to study. Is it a surprise that the majority of denominations do not teach, discuss, or have sermons about the church that existed in the New Testament? Is that a surprise to you? This was a question he was asking. You say no, Dave. How come?
Because it would force many people to confront the differences between what they're being taught and what the Bible teaches.
Yeah. And they would lose probably the majority of their following as well. The church would actually come apart. I had heard a story once, and I think it's actually true. I don't mean to put my wife on the spot, but tell me if this is true. A letter your Aunt Luann received from Billy Graham, that is a true story. She wrote a letter to Billy Graham. We all know who Billy Graham is. Nobody, I saw a no back there. Probably the young kids don't know Billy Graham. Is he dead?
No.
But his son is actually taking it over now, correct? To Billy Graham. And the letter was written to Billy Graham. Billy Graham did a lot of televangelism on TV. And he would say, accept Christ into your heart. That was his biggest thing. That was big. And she wrote him a letter stating that baptism is essential, book, chapter, and verses as to why and how we get into the Lord's church. His response was this, and I wish I had a copy of this because this would be huge. I should try to find out if we can get a copy or if she still has it. That his response was, I believe that baptism is essential. Am I saying that right, Stace? I believe that baptism is essential, but if I preach that, I would lose my following. I would lose my following.
That's shocking. That's really bad.
That's really, really bad. And why? I ask myself, why would somebody want to mislead people? And it's almost like, to me, personally, intentionally. Don't know.
Max Lucado was the same way. I mean, he changed.
I know.
He changed what he wrote.
I know.
Because he was losing too much of his following on his books.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important. I don't make sure I say this correctly because I don't want to step on toes. I don't want people to think I'm stepping on toes. But if we're a member of the church, we need to be very careful who we surround ourselves with all of the time. Not just out in the world, but other denominations who are influencing us. Because you keep hearing something and it can change your mind. It'll change your mind.
Yeah, but don't they?
Be like somebody just hammering it into you.
A lot of times.
And that's what happened with Max Lucado.
A lot of times I think that they're doing, you know, even Joel Osteen all the time says, you know, find a good Bible-based church, you know, or not necessarily saying, but they're trying to get people to at least get into a good Bible-based church. And even if they don't believe that, like Billy Graham, you know, if he can at least get some people into a good Bible-based church and, you know, not try not to listen to him so much, does he think he's still doing right? You know, he's not speaking it.
And
you know,
it goes back on
that.
This, and we mentioned this last week and the week before. All churches teach some truth. All churches have good people. But that doesn't mean it's the complete truth.
Right.
And that's something that we have to watch out for and show others. Okay, we got to keep moving here. Okay, how is ignorance and neglect of talking about the church of the Bible, how does this assist Satan's agenda? How is the ignorance and neglect of talking about the church in the Bible, how does this assist Satan? Rod.
It controls the people.
Controls the people.
For example, political correctness.
Okay. Okay.
You can control people, you can lead them away.
Okay. Having people Bible ignorant, I don't know if I like to use that term because it just sounds like I'm slamming people. But it's true. I mean, and in some ways, I would say I'm ignorant in a lot of ways to some of the teaching.
We
all
like that word. You could say uninformed.
Hey, that's a good way of saying it.
Because that's basically what it means. It doesn't mean stupid.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
So Phyllis Hamer just sugarcoated what this would be a good way of putting it. Bible uninformed. That sounds better.
Isn't that
I like
really
that. It is. It's Bible uninformed. Yeah. I listened to some talk radio. You ever hear, I think it's Sean Hannity. He says that people are uninformed voters. That's what he calls them, uninformed voters. So if you ever listen to talk radio, you'll hear that. Listen to this. God had Noah build a vessel of salvation. What was that vessel of salvation? What was it?
The ark.
Ark, right? Noah said to get into the ark to be saved. Get into the vessel commissioned by God for salvation. But it's your choice. I'm reading what Mike said here out of the book. But it's your choice to get into the ark. Don't get in if you don't want to, but if you don't get into the ark, you can't be saved. Is that true? Is that what happened? How many people were saved? Do you remember? We talked about this.
Eight
people were saved, right? Was salvation found outside the ark?
No.
God commissioned another soul-saving vessel, the perfect soul-saving vessel, Jesus Christ. The principle from the Old Testament was brought forth and fulfilled in Jesus. You still have the power of choice, free moral agency. Get into the vessel of Jesus Christ, which is the body of Christ, to be saved. Does everybody agree with that? Disagree? Do we have to be in the body of Christ, the vessel, to be saved? You don't have to get in again if you don't want to, but if you don't get in, you won't be saved. Just like the ark. Is salvation found outside the ark of Christ? Question. Is salvation found outside the ark of Christ? The ark of Christ is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church of Christ. That is why you must be in the church of Christ for salvation. The body. It's Christ's body. It's the soul-saving ark of God today. Just like the soul-saving ark of God during Noah's day was the boat. Typology is a picture language. The ark was the type, and the church is the antitype. Noah, the builder of the ark, was the type. Jesus, the builder of the church, was the antitype. Does that all make sense? You guys lost? Makes a lot of sense to me that when we read scripture and we're told that we need to be in the body, that we have to teach others, you have to be in the body to be saved. It teaches us that. How is it possible to teach God's process of salvation without teaching about the church of the Bible? Is it possible that we can teach salvation without teaching about the church of the Bible? Somebody make comment. Kelly back there saying no.
You have to use the Bible for references.
Okay. But can we teach about the church of the Bible or about salvation without using or teaching about the church of the Bible? Can we teach people? There's no way, because it goes together. It all ties together. Let me read something real quick. And we gotta call it quits here. Praising God and having favor, Acts 2:47, we already read this. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord was adding to their number, day by day. Who was their number? What is their number?
The church.
The church. Who was doing the adding? Who was doing the adding? A lot of us know this. Who was doing the adding? Was it the pastor? Did they take a vote? No. The Lord was adding to the church. The Lord did it himself. I skimmed through it, guys. Went fast today, I know. But go back and read again if it went too fast. Thanks for coming. We got to close right now.